Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and today we'll be discussing which metro cities are the best destination for car repair, according to Repair Pal's Jill Trotta.
The message that I usually give them is that if you're trying to be like the lowest and you're artificially suppressing your labor rate, that's bad for the industry.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2020 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020, where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Mark your calendars and plan to be there. Enrollment, it's begun. Contact your Napa store to find out more, and I'll see you in Las Vegas. Hey, remember why you are engaged with the Aftermarket's premier podcast? Well, with all the noise in your life, Remarkable Results Radio grounds you in the context of the aftermarket. You are almost guaranteed to learn just one thing in every episode. You know, learning supports your purpose, and it brings influence to the people you touch. Well, that's a heavy thought, but that's why you hang with me and our guests each week. Find today's show page and Jill's talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E443. Our guest today is Jill Trotta. She's been a great contributor on the podcast, and she is back to share results of a Repair Pal survey. She's the Vice President for Industry Advocacy and Sales at Repair Pal. We discussed the findings of a survey that Repair Pal did that pointed out which metro cities are best and worst for car repair. This is based on factors like average repair order, road quality, and average labor rates, among others. All those criteria may not necessarily provide exacting science. However, there are variables and statistics that you'll find interesting and that we can learn from. The survey also pointed out which cities are most affected with the technician shortage. Hey, a warm welcome to Jill Trotta from Repair Pal. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Carm. How you doing?
I'm great, Jill. My friend, Jill Trotta. Thanks so much for all that you've done to come on the show. Quite often, actually. I think we average at least every 6 months.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
About every 6 months, we seem to get you in here to talk about stuff. Today's no exception. You guys did an interesting survey, and I have to tell you, the minute I saw this article on the 20 best and or the worst metro areas for car repair, I just took this thing out and I just fell in love with it and I read it. And I was really kind of shocked by some of the stuff that I uncovered, which is why you're here. Talk about it. I don't know if I want to talk about the worst cities, although I think at the end, maybe we'll cover a little bit of that. But I want to talk about the 20 best metro areas for car repair. And let's talk about a little about the methodology of how you guys came up with this, you know, your results.
So what we did was we took a big, you know, data pool for it. And we looked at average repair order for the area. We looked at road quality. We looked at, I think I said, average labor rate. And we also looked at the ratio of number of registered cars to number of mechanics. And we used a lot of our internal information for that, but we also used census data for that as well.
So the assumption is that the more techs there are, the quicker we can get an appointment.
Yeah, the easier it is to get an appointment
and the vehicle fixed. Interesting thought. Did you ever talk to somebody in one of those cities and found out how bad the technician shortage was in any of those cities?
You know, I spent a lot of time last year throughout the Carolinas and through the South, and then also spent a lot of time up in the North. So I spent a lot of time basically on the East Coast last year, and definitely worse up in the northern states, through the South, through the Carolinas. They do feel the effects of the technician shortage, but I don't think as deeply as the North. And I mean, that's a whole nother show to talk about why that might be.
It's not a subject that we haven't covered, or there aren't some really good solutions out there actually for it. One of the criteria was roads. And I read that and I said, well, here I live up here in the great Northeast. We don't have roads to speak of. We just don't. Anywhere you drive.
Good rocks.
Yeah, anywhere you drive, pothole. You find a pothole. And so I guess it doesn't surprise me that 13 out of the 20 best metro areas are from the south. Now, I know we don't have good roads everywhere, but at least we don't have that salt and that, you know, that ice, you know, the freeze and the melt going on with roads. Is that a fair number to measure how good the roads are?
I think it is, because the quality of the roads are going to affect the average repair order, because you're going to get more suspension damage, you're going to get tires, you're going to get things that will be damaged by the rough roads. Suspensions are going to wear quicker. You're going to have a lot of those issues. We have them out here in California as well, because our roads are pretty bad for the most part.
Now, why is that?
I think it's just a resource and a priority. Throughout Oakland and San Francisco, which is where I live, the roads are terrible.
They're not investing in the roads.
They're just not investing in the roads.
It's amazing, and I guess maybe that's why this whole infrastructure thing that they're trying to talk about on a national basis is important to help fix our bridges and our roads. Okay, off my soapbox, no matter what soapbox that was. It's amazing how bad the roads are, Jill.
The roads are really bad up in the north, just with the salt and the weather. That's why they're bad. And southern states, I guess, generally have better roads, and that affects the cost of the repair order.
So Jacksonville, Florida was the number one best out of your survey. Now, you get a lot of data from the RepairPal network, and I do believe that's where a lot of this stuff is aggregated from, right?
It's from actual repair orders. A lot of other companies who do these types of surveys, it's self-reported information. When we do it from real information, from real repair orders. We have literally millions of data points in our data set.
Were you surprised to see there were that many southern cities that came up in the top 20?
I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised about Jacksonville. I've spent a lot of time there. I know a lot of the shops there, and there's some pretty quality shops in Jacksonville. And it's just a nice community. It surrounds generally. It's a pretty good place. I've also spent a lot of time in the Carolinas, found some really quality shops there as well.
1, 2, 3. It looks like there may be 4 in the Carolinas on the survey. Amazing.
Yeah, there's, you know, Raleigh, Charlotte, Charleston, Greensboro.
Why is that? Is it that the cost of living is a little less? Maybe the roads are just a little bit better. Why do you think they made that?
They have a lot of skilled labor there. From what we found, is their tech to car ratio was in line. The average repair order was fairly low, which, like we said, probably correlates to the road conditions.
So 55% of your score, the methodology, is that the number of repair shop workers per car and the labor rates accounted for 55% of the decision. Okay, let's talk about labor rates, Jill. Does that mean that they're a little too low?
That could mean that they're a little too low. You know, I've led the team that certifies our shop since 2014. And the constant conversation that we have with shops is that their labor rates are too low. You know, 70% of the shops in our network, the last time we ran it, which was about a year ago, had labor rates that I would consider to be too low. I think that is more prevalent when you get into the South and when you get into like the Midwest. In California, the labor rates are really high. You know, San Francisco Bay Area, $146 an hour. And you also have like the lowest average repair bill came from Dayton, Ohio. That's the average RO was the lowest in Dayton. That is probably highly related to the labor rate.
You're engaged with your RepairPal customers, and you get this data. And Jill reads the data, and she says, wow, there's a message here. When you're out and you know what the average labor rates are per region, and you know that they're artificially a little low, take me to the conversation that you have out in the field. How do you start by telling a shop owner, hey, I think you need to revisit your numbers and consider a move on your labor rate? I mean, how does that conversation start, Jill?
You know, I usually come straight at it and I say, you know, RepairPal, the research that we've done shows that the labor rate in your area should be from 105 to 125. You're one of the best shops in the area, so I would expect that your labor rate would be in like the 115, 120 range, and you're at 98. So you really probably should rethink that. And I do point out that, and a lot of times they'll go, oh, well, I like being the cheapest in the area, or my customers will notice. And the message that I usually give them is that if you're trying to be like the lowest and you're artificially suppressing your labor rate, that's bad for the industry. That you really need to evaluate that. The advice I give them when they say, oh, how am I going to raise that up? That my customers are going to protest if I raise my labor rate $5 an hour. And I tell them, you know, I will guarantee you, if you raise it $5 an hour for the next 3 months, just kind of nobody's going to notice.
Just raise it 15. You know, I love what you just said. My customer will notice that you said, I'm low because I want my customer to notice. Or on the other hand, if I raise it, my customer will notice and boycott me. And anybody I've ever interviewed, any coach I've ever interviewed, any shop owner I've ever interviewed, and I've done over 500 interviews, it's just a fallacy. That's all they say. So who's ever listening to this, if you're one of those shops that have an artificially low labor rate, because Jill says so, not the marketplace, but Jill, really get in there and make a move. I mean, there's, you know, we're talking so much in the industry about how can we pay our techs the kind of money? How do we build the kind of industry that we can take inbound students that are going to be our future and show them a career path and an income path? You can show a career path if they're willing to stay at one job making, you know, $15 an hour, but that's not going to cut it today in our future. Jill, I think you agree with that.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. In order to check the top talent, we have to be able to pay them.
I didn't kind of mean this interview to go in that direction, but I'm glad it did. And it really starts with labor rate. It starts with a lot of great business management skills, but you still have to have the money coming in order to have, you know, being able to have the money going out to the technician and finding a good career path for them.
You have to charge for your work and for the quality that you're offering. In the beginning, RepairPal, we had a really hard time finding shops in West Virginia with labor rates at $45 an hour. One, I don't know how they can attract top talent. And two, I don't even know how they could buy equipment.
Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the Napa Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The Napa Insurance Center is now offering the Napa National Health Program, and it's saving Napa Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, Napa stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the Napa Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 Napa locations, including both Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the Napa Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a Napa-only discount, up to 35%. The Napa Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. Napa's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing Napa store. For more detailed information about the Napa National Health Program, visit the Napa Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the Napa Benefits Center at 844-627-2123. G. Trulia did a fabulous rant. He was actually the first ever For the Record when we came out with that rant show. And he talked about that. And he brought up that exact point. He says, I'm at 100 and, you know, whatever his number was, $129. And the guy down the road from me is at 98. And his point was, he's got to buy the same equipment I need to buy. He's got the same tax base that I have to pay for. Same heat, same light, and all that stuff. And he says, I know what I'm making. I can't even imagine he's making anything. Too much of how we're running our businesses today are on what we really don't know. There's a bunch of things we don't know, and which is why the business coaches are so important. Seminars and networking. Everybody needs to step it up.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. I always tell people, you need to run your business and you need to charge what you need to charge to make money, or else all you've done for yourself is create a really low paid job for yourself.
The survey comes out. It's on your desk. And like you said to me, oh God, Carm, Jacksonville was the number one out of the 20 best metro areas for car repair. Number two is Greensboro, North Carolina. So you've been in all these cities, right?
I have been in most of these.
All right. Okay. And that's kind of my thinking here. When you look back, Greensboro was 2, Richmond, Virginia, 5, Winston-Salem, North Carolina was 4, Knoxville, Tennessee, and on and on. When you think back and you say, were you surprised to see these in that order?
I was actually surprised that the South and through the Carolinas, you know, ended up so high on the list. I spent a lot of time there because we had trouble filling in those areas. Some of our partners, they're big in those areas. So we had to go actually feet on the ground, which I'm really always happy to do, because one of my favorite things to do is to get to know shop owners and to see what the shops in different areas look like. So they were really quality shops. I was surprised to find out that it's some of the friendliest.
30% of the methodology was labor rate. 30% of the methodology was repair invoice totals. So if the cost of living is a little lower, the labor rates are a little lower, that means the repair invoice totals will be lower. Is it also possible that digital vehicle inspections did not catch up to some of those cities and some of those customers, and they're not really doing the in-depth research, which would bump the average repair order?
That could absolutely be the case. It gives me we should go back and ask these questions.
And then the next thing, Jill, and you know, I am such a proponent and an advocate for great running businesses in the automotive aftermarket. This is just my passion. I just love what I do and getting these stories told. And I think about trust. I think about competence. I think about relationship. I think about workmanship. Could the next survey have, you know, that kind of subjective, objective, I'm not sure what we would call that. How do you get out to the consumer and say, you had a trusted experience, can you rate that for me? Are you doing
any
of that?
We have that for a lot of our shops. So we have a continuous survey that we do for a lot of our shops. And a lot of our partners also survey their customers who have attended our shops. And when we were talking earlier, I was thinking that we definitely need to maybe follow up with the 10 most customer-friendly
cities. That's the thing I would love to see, because I think the shop owner out there, Jill, is working so hard to grow a better business, to build a better culture, to hire better people, to attend training, to become a better marketer. And a lot of that stuff can't be in, you know, what the roads are like. And, you know, yeah, the average repair order is interesting, but I guarantee you they're working very hard to improve that, because with an improved repair, you know, maybe a few less cards, a little higher average repair order gives them sanity in their day and with an increased labor rate. But trust, competence, relationship, workmanship, all of that, the whole integrity piece, to me, I think as we try to build the image of our industry, it would be great to be able to see some results of a survey like that.
Yeah, we have that information. I'll go back and suggest it for sure.
I want to talk about the worst city, and I didn't want to really belabor that too much. But what's so interesting in the top 20 worst, there's a bunch of California cities there, Jill, your old home state. You know, the high cost of living there, right? Lots of regulations, more regulations than we know about.
Let me see, in the top 10, Fresno, Bakersfield, San Fran, Los Angeles, Oxnard, and San Jose. more than 50% of the top 10. Why?
You know, bad roads, high labor rates. I also think that these areas, like, there's a lot of tech in those areas. And if somebody has the aptitude to become a mechanic, they probably are a good fit for tech. And tech pays more.
Tech pays more. And who was it that was telling me, it may have been Matt Fonzo the other day, that said, well, if you didn't get your job at Google, look at the automotive world, because we're in a high-tech industry, but nobody knows about it yet.
That's true. I had these conversations all the time. I was trying to convince my niece that perhaps she might want to think about it.
What's new at RepairPal? Anything I should know about?
You know, just we're constantly evaluating what we're doing. Right now, we're doing a big deep dive into labor rates and into our labor rates, and are our labor rates too low? Are they too high? And just diving into that.
And I hope that you come out with some conclusions that whisper in the ear of your client and the industry that says, get them up there.
I can definitely tell you that they're not too high. So we're just trying to figure out a new updated algorithm. So how to figure out what the best way to figure a labor rate for an area would be, you know, taking in census data, taking in cost per square foot. Like, how do we make that so that the shops, you know, gives a good guide as to what it should cost to get your car repaired in that area?
That's so interesting, because think about it. Take a really smart service professional shop owner. Take him and his coach together, just managing the numbers, crunching the numbers, looking at all the factors that it takes to run the business, and then back up your gross margin into your labor rate. And then you take the RepairPal algorithm, and, right? You have the real hard, the yellow pad numbers over here and the RepairPal algorithm over there. And you look at them both, and then you make a decision.
Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of the coaches to see like how they figure it out, and I know how we figure it out, and you know what's going to be fair. Especially, you know, I talk a lot about price transparency, and as transparency comes in, and parts margins start to get more aggressive because people know what those parts cost. When that happens, you have to push in the labor rate, and because your labor rate's your differentiating factor, so.
Absolutely. Did a great podcast with Vin Waterhouse on that very, very subject. Well, hey, it was great. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're at a meeting in Florida, so thanks for coming on and doing this. Appreciate it. Jill Trotta from RepairPal.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.